All right. Well, welcome everyone. I think we can get started now. Hopefully, you're able to grab a little refreshment on the way down and stretch your legs a little bit after the keynote. Well, my name is Mike McLean, and today we'll be covering an introduction to Project Online, an Office 365 service. Now, before I start, let me ask a question. How many people are tired of applying service packs, software upgrades, patch Tuesdays, major releases? Any show of hands? Anybody tired of upgrading? Yeah, quite a few. Has anybody been in a server room that looks anything like this? A few hands? Okay. Oh, yeah. Thankfully, ours do not look like this. I can guarantee it. But if you like those types of things, maybe you want to work for Microsoft. Well, today we'll cover Project Online, and maybe this will be a way to kind of push that burden onto somebody else, right? You can maybe get out of that line of work, maybe focus on what's important to your business, okay? So today we're going to do a whirlwind tour of Project Online. Project Online covers a lot of different areas. You saw a little glimpse of it today in the keynote. So today we're going to show a little bit about several different areas. Don't worry about remembering everything that you see here today. You can just sit back and relax. We've got some great hands-on labs this week where you can actually work through some of these scenarios. As we move through the demos, I'll point out some other related sessions. So if you want to learn a little bit more about getting started, or you want to learn more about portfolio management or go deeper in a different area, I'll try to highlight those. And I have a slide at the very end where you can see when those are going to happen. So today we'll spend some time talking about Project Online. I'll talk a little bit about how you sign up for it, how you administer, and then we'll talk a little bit about what we saw from the product engineering team as an evolution of project management. And we'll look at kind of the continuum of managing tasks all the way to portfolios. You'll be able to see how much of that is available in Project Online. We'll touch on portfolio management and then business intelligence, and we're going to do all of this through demos, demos, and demos. So lots of demos today. It was a very, very demo-heavy session. Now, a little bit about myself. My name is Mike McLean. I'm a senior program manager with the Microsoft Project Engineering team. I've been at Microsoft for almost 9 years, and most recently, I helped ship Project Online. So this is one of my favorite topics. Before that, I shipped the initial release of SharePoint Online, which was a really exciting project. And I also spent several years working in Microsoft Dynamics, looking at financial reporting and analytics. So if you have questions today, I'll try to save some time at the end. Otherwise, feel free to follow me at MRAD, or you can even tweet me your question. PC253 is the session, and I can reply to you that way as well. Now, Microsoft Office 365. We'll start with one trivia question. I have these really cool project badge holders. Can anybody tell me when Office 365 was first released? Any guesses? It was pretty recent, a couple years ago. Somebody say last year? Huh? What was it? I heard one over here. Yeah, so last year, Office 365 Home Premium was released. Here, I can give one to you, sir. Who said last year? Right there? Awesome. Okay. Well, don't worry. You know, I've got another one. I'll get one for you, too. So last year, Office 365 Home Premium was released. That's also when Project Online was released. But the initial suite of SharePoint, Exchange, and Link was released June 2011. So don't worry, I'll get you off to the session. So now, June 2011, we released Office 365. So it was mainly built on the core pillars of Exchange, Link, and SharePoint, right? So there's one tool missing from the toolbox, one kid that wasn't invited to the party, and that was Project. So a lot of people ask, well, why wasn't Project there initially? Well, we were right in the middle of major re-architecture for the 2013 release, right? And if you think about the Project Server 2010 architecture, when you provision a Project Web App, we would actually create like four databases for every instance of that site collection. Now, can you imagine if like all of you, every single person, signed up for Project Online? We would be polluting Office 365 with databases, right? So we took some time, and we finished a lot of major architecture enhancements, added all the features that you'll see in 2013, and we released it 1 year ago. So this enabled Project Online and Project Pro for Office 365 to be available when the time was right. Now, why did we do this? Why were we looking at Office 365? Now, if you look at the landscape, this is just to give you a little glimpse into the momentum behind Project, right? We sell a copy of Project every 20 seconds, right? I've been talking about 10 minutes. It's about 30 copies. I can go home now. I'm done. but you can see kind of the breadth. We've impacted about 20 million users, tens of thousands of organizations. So the project footprint is huge. And we're also learning that people are changing the way they do work, right? Our customers are more mobile. They're moving around. Maybe you're working at a project schedule at work and you need to finish it at home. Maybe you'd like to have that click-to-run client available on your home PC. So we understood that our customers were changing the way they work and the business was evolving. So we looked at Office 365 as a great way to release project as a service. Now, what's available? When you look at Office 365 and Project Online, there are three primary SKUs. Now, in the keynote today, you heard about a new SKU, the team member, and there'll be more information coming out about that. But if we focus on the three that are available today, let's just digest these a little bit. Now, when you hear something like SharePoint Online, that's SharePoint server in the cloud, right? Exchange Online is Exchange server in the cloud. So Project Online is our project server product in the cloud. Okay, it's a full breadth of project portfolio management. When you see Project Pro for Office 365, this is the project desktop client available via click to run. Now that means that there's no MSI that you install. You click the link and it streams the client down to your computer. All right? Now in these offers, you can subscribe to Project Online with Project Pro for Office 365. That's one license. You can assign these licenses to users. You can also subscribe to just Project Online. You can just get licenses for the online service. Here, you can do things like resource and portfolio management. You schedule web part. It's great for team members working on different projects and collaborating. Now, if you only want the Project Pro for Office 365 client, you can license that as well. There's lots of scenarios for that. You can work on schedules locally. You can use Project Pro for Office 365 with a task list. So this is definitely an option if you just need the client. Now, of course, there's lots of project management scenarios available directly in SharePoint. So here, you can use SharePoint task lists for simple task management or team sites to collaborate in documents. Now, that is available just in SharePoint. Now, these SKUs can be added to E3 if you're already a customer of Office 365, or they can be purchased standalone. Okay? That was a core requirement when we released these offers. So now, a lot of people ask me, well, Mike, what is the difference between project server on-premises and project online in the cloud? Now, there's a few, and we'll talk more about those this week, but administration is one of those differences, right? And I'll use an analogy to kind of explain the approach we took. Now, when you live in an apartment building and you're a tenant, right, you're leasing space in that building, right? You're paying a monthly fee and you get to live in that apartment. So when you look at Office 365, you're considered a tenant in the service, right? You're paying a monthly subscription to use the service. That way, you get all of the great features we continue to deploy, any enhancements that we make available. And as long as you pay that monthly service, you're able to continue using it, right? So you're considered a tenant in Office 365. So one of the differences was that on-premises, you have access to the central admin, where you can control timer jobs, how things work, how syncs happen. Well, a lot of those configuration settings are managed in Project Online, right, in our data center. So you don't have access to central admin, but you do have a tenant admin. So this is where you can manage your tenant that you subscribe to. All right, we'll take a look at that in a minute. So administration is one of the differences, and there's a few others that we can talk about later, like reporting and whatnot. So now I'm going to jump in to the first set of demos, and we'll actually take a look at signing up for Project Online and the tenant admin. Now, when you're interested in Project Online, and you leave the session and you say, that was awesome, I'm ready to sign up right now. Everybody's nodding their heads. You can go to office.com/project. Now this will take you directly to a page where you can see information on Project Online. We have a great video you can watch. You can learn more. Now I'll scroll down and I'll click Learn More About Project Online with Project Pro. When I click that option here, we're very transparent about the price. You can buy now if you want, or you can take a tour if you're interested in more information. We also have a lot of partner-led trials if you want to go a little bit deeper. But now when you click Buy Now, it's really easy. You just have to enter your information, specify your country, and you can decide what type of domain you would like. So if I want project online at mikemclain.sharepoint.com, I enter Mike McLean. You can enter your business or whatever URL you want. So after you enter this information, you just click buy. So let's just do this right now. Who wants to give me their credit card number? Anybody? No takers? Okay. All right. Well, I guess you can do it later. Now, I'll point out another interesting piece of the Office 365 site. The other day, I was browsing around, because that's what most people do when they're bored, right, is look at the Office 365 Trust Center. And here, there's a number that jumped out at me, 99.98% uptime. So every quarter, Office 365 publishes our actual uptime results. So when you hear a goal like three nines, that's 99.9%. We are so close to hitting four nines. So I would challenge you to look at any of our competitors, compare the amount of functionality that we offer, and see if they can hit SLAs like this. Right? This is a guaranteed SLA. So that's kind of neat. You can check out the Trust Center. Here we have lots of other info on certifications, ISO, and everything that we've tried to accomplish. So now I'm going to move to a tenant where I've actually provisioned an instance of Project Online. So this is the Office 365 portal. Now, when you come to portal.microsoftonline.com, you'll sign in as your user. You'll get several emails when you sign up for the service. And here you can see information about the health of the service. You can see if anyone's been degraded. Looks like Exchange is working on something. SharePoint's here. If I click Service Health, you can actually see we publish a lot of information about any incidents that have happened. And if I expand SharePoint, we have our very own line item called Project Online. So Project is integrated right here into the Office 365 Service Health Dashboard. Okay? And coming back to the dashboard, one of the most frequently asked questions is, well, where do I download that Project Pro for Office 365 client? Well, there's a download software button right here on the right. When you click this, it'll bring you to a page where you can see all the different suites you've subscribed to. I can download Office, or I can click Project and download Project Pro for Office 365. So here you can download your favorite scheduling tool on up to 5 PCs. Okay? Coming back to the dashboard, if I click Users and Groups, here's where you can assign licenses to your users. So if I wanted Garth to have access to Project Online, I can click Project Online Plan 1. I can also give him access to Project Pro for Office 365. So here's where I would manage the licenses for my users. Now, I mentioned the tenant admin briefly. When you look at the suite navigation up here at the top, and you click Admin, you can select SharePoint, and this will take you to the tenant admin. Here, you can see a list of all of your SharePoint site collections, and we nicely group any of the site collections that have Project Web App functionality. All right? These are site collections where we've added that Project Online functionality. Now, when you sign up for Project Online, we actually provision one right out of the box. You get site/PWA, but you can create a new one if you'd like. I'll show you what that dialog looks like. So if I click New, Site Collection, maybe you want to type. I can type in the name of my URL that I want to use. And here I can type in my administrator. Let's resolve that. I can click OK. And I need to enter my quota here. This will define how much space we're going to allocate to our Project Online site. So now we're going off and we're spinning up a brand new instance of Project Online on a new site collection. Okay, you're allowed to have up to 3. So you can see here we keep track of how many you have in Project Online. And this will probably finish in a few minutes. Now you can create a brand new one like I just did, or you can add it to an existing site collection as well. So I won't go into all the details about the quotas and how those are managed. There's another session by Alex Savescu focused on IT architecture administration. So you can definitely look at that if you're interested in that side of it. All right. So this is a little tour of the tenant admin. Again, what we just saw was how to sign up for Project Online and then how to navigate to the tenant admin to actually administer your site collections. So now let's talk a little bit about the project management discipline. So what we saw when we were working on Project Online is that companies were going through this evolution of various stages of their projects, right? And another analogy we like to use is the game of football, which everybody's really familiar with after yesterday, or soccer. So maybe that's the real football for some of you. But here on the left side, you have kids that are just playing flag football. right? They're probably not following all the rules yet. I can see some cones in the background. Those probably outline the end of the field. And they're just kind of running around. The kids in the lower left are just, it looks like they just want to have fun, right? They're just kind of getting started. Now, when you transition to the middle column, which is more maybe high school, a few years older, maybe there's a few more rules. Maybe they're divided into leagues. And then you progress to professional sports, where there's lots of rules, penalties, schedules, and it's much more rigid, right? Well, we understood that projects go through a similar evolution, where maybe you have some projects that are kind of started organically, working with less folks, and these progress into more advanced projects, right, with more structure. Maybe you need to hit certain certifications and publish status via a certain way. So on the engineering team, we realize this, and it kind of defines the continuum of project management, right, where maybe you're starting out and you're just working with a few tasks, maybe just a couple of people, and then maybe you're adding more people and you're growing, and now you have a team, and then eventually maybe this spans the full enterprise. Well, what's great is that the technologies available from Microsoft can help manage you through this continuum, right, and Project Online is one of those. So as you move from task management to maybe project collaboration, maybe that's when you add a SharePoint site and you can collaborate together. And then maybe you want to do some quick scheduling. Well, you can add Project Pro on top of that. And then you have your full portfolio and you need to do portfolio analysis. Well, you can bring those projects into Project Online. You can manage these across your enterprise. So we saw this scenario kind of evolve. And now what I'll do is I'll walk you through some demos of what we call Project Online task management. So we can start out with something really lightweight, and then we'll see how that transitions into Project Online. And once we get to Project Online, we'll take a look at portfolio management and how you would actually manage these in Project Online. And then we'll talk a little bit about business intelligence, and we'll talk about how you report on this data that's in Project Online and pull that data out. Does that sound good to everybody? All right. Let me transition back to Project Online here. So now we'll do a little bit of a scenario. So Disneyland is right next door, right? And they obviously make, you know, pretty good amount of money. And maybe we think, well, gosh, we should kind of investigate that market. Maybe we could have a Disneyland competitor. There's not much up in Seattle in the way of Disneyland, so let's go explore. So maybe I have a team, and I have a list of tasks that I think need to be done to kind of investigate, you know, this compete scenario. Has anybody ever just started with a quick list of tasks in Excel? Just jotted a few things down that you know need to happen. A few hands go up. Okay. Well, a lot of people do that, and we call them accidental project managers. Okay? Because when you have a list of tasks like this, you're trying to track what needs to be done. There's dates, and there's people where you're assigning this work. So now in Excel, if I copy this data from Excel, and I come over to SharePoint, here I've created just a really simple SharePoint team site. Okay, this is just right out of the box. I have the carousel, an empty newsfeed, a few other things. Well, here I can add a list, and I'm going to install the task list, and we'll just call this tasks. And just like that, I've installed a task list to my team site. So now that I have this task list, I can actually paste in that full list of tasks from Excel. Oops, hold on. Let's try copying one more time. Okay. So now I can just paste in that list of tasks from Excel. And you can see in 2013, we're actually going through and we're processing this information. So we're updating the dates to be a little bit more friendly. You can see it says 4 days ago. You can see we've reconciled the users I had in Excel to my users in Active Directory. So now this is being assigned to real users. If I come out here, I can actually select some of these tasks. And if I click tasks, I can indent these. See? So I created a nice hierarchy where I can collapse and I can expand these. So there's some enhancements that the project team has helped build into the task list directly to manage some of this information. Now you might have seen that toast that popped up that said the first one is on us, friendly message. Well, it added a task to the timeline to show me how that works. So we have this timeline right here in the SharePoint task list. Now if I wanted to, maybe I want to add some of these tasks up to my timeline. I can bring these up. And you can see I can start creating a really quick timeline with that data that I just previously had in Excel. Okay? So this is great. This is available right here in the SharePoint task list. And right here on my team site. Looks like they're hiding them from me. Now, I've added this data into my SharePoint task list, but can anybody give me an idea of how Robin would find out that I added this task? Like, how would Robin know that I assigned this task to her?
Go to my task.
Go to my task? Yeah, somebody said my task. Okay, cool. All right. My task. This is a great segue to the next part of the demo. You know, you might email her in the old days, or you might send her an IM or tell her that you assigned her this task. But so we realize that there's some opportunity here to take advantage of the My Site, right? And if I click Sarah and I click About Me, now there's a task link on her My Site. And here, Sarah can see all of the tasks that are assigned to her. So there's actually a new work management service running in the background, and this is aggregating any tasks that are assigned to users across any of their SharePoint lists. So right here in the My Site, Sarah can see all the tasks that are assigned to her. There was a toast that popped up that told her there was new tasks. And right here at the bottom, I see the brand new tasks from our Disneyland Compete site. Pretty cool? Now, Sarah can come into her My Site. She can see these tasks. And what's great is that we have a bi-directional sync. So if she checks these off and she's done, this will actually publish it back to our Disneyland Compete site. So we'll come back to our task list. We'll see if this updated. Yep, sure did. Is that pretty cool? You like that? Awesome. So she can actually work with her tasks on her My Site. She can mark these off. It syncs back to the task list. As a project manager, all this data is updated for me right here on the task list. Now, this is great, but so far, my project management organization doesn't know that I've created this site, right? Now, sometimes we have these SharePoint sites that spin up across the enterprise, and if my project managers are assigning Sarah work, they're not going to know that she's also going to help confirm decisions and do some investigation on our project, right? Well, we realize this, and that's why in Project Online, if I come over here to the, actually, let's navigate back to Project Web App. Now, there are several different ways to get started creating projects. Now, if I knew this was going to be a big project out of the gate, I could just create it right here in Project Online. But we introduced a new option, which is to add existing SharePoint sites to Project Web App. So when I click this, we actually go reach out across our site collection, and we find any SharePoint sites that we haven't linked to Project Online yet. So now I can actually select Disneyland Compete, and it tells me that there's a task list associated with the site. And when I click Add, we're actually going to connect that SharePoint site with Project Online. Okay. Now, when I navigate over to the Project Center, usually it takes a few minutes for this to run. We'll see if it shows up.
In Project.
Oh, what was that? It will create it if you're creating a brand new project in Project Web App. So if you click Create and you enter a new project name, it'll create the site for you. But
if you knew it was a certain type of project. Uh-huh.
Right.
Can you set it up to do default templates that you know you're going to need, like standard risk templates, IP templates?
Yeah, so I'll repeat the question for the recording. So the question was, if we know it's going to be a specific type of project, can we set up enterprise project templates to use? The import functionality you just saw doesn't really worry about the EPT, so you can't map an EPT there. But that scenario is probably a little bit better for the Innovation Hub scenario I'll show in a minute, where you can map EPTs. So. Yeah, we'll look at that in just a sec. So here, now that I'm in Project Center, I can see Disneyland Compete in my list of projects, right? Previously, that wouldn't have existed, but I have a lot of other projects that my PMO is managing. So now we've actually connected that SharePoint site with Project Online. And what's great is my users, they can still go to that SharePoint site and that task list. They can still mark tasks as complete. They can work through it. And those updates will be synced right here into Project Online. So my project managers can build reports over this data, and they can look at the status of this project. Now, as the projects progress, if they become a little bit more advanced, and maybe we need some more enterprise functionality, and we say, well, the SharePoint task list was great to start out with, but now we want our users to go to Project Web App to push their updates, well, we can convert this project to what's called an enterprise project. So when I click the gear in the upper right-hand corner, and I select PWA settings, here it'll actually load set of options. I'll give it a sec. Let me try that again. Okay. So here it loads a set of options And I can click Connected SharePoint Sites, and I can see the full list of projects. It's thinking. We have a pretty big list. So here I can see the full list of projects. Now, if I wanted to convert Disneyland Compete to an enterprise project, I just click Activate. And now it's an enterprise project, and our users would manage this directly in Project Web App. So from that point forward, the task list is read-only, and all the updates would happen in Project Online. So I'll just recap what we just looked at. So just now, we had a short list of tasks in Excel. We looked at how to bring that into a task list in SharePoint using the SharePoint task list. And then we connected that SharePoint task list to Project Online. And from there, we can actually move that to a more advanced project called an enterprise project. Okay? So now that's one way to get projects into Project Online. So now we'll look at another way. Now, this is more of kind of the grassroots approach where projects start and then they grow and they mature. But other organizations sometimes have more of a funnel, right, where ideas come in, proposals may be submitted, and then they have to filter these down and decide on which of these they actually move forward with. Well, I can use, again, a SharePoint task list. And here, using a custom list, there's a few options I added where I can let people submit their ideas to this task list. They can enter information about the proposal, how much it might cost, what the benefits are. I can even let people vote on these and rate these. This is more of what we call our demand management scenario. So we can see how much demand is there for this project. We can see what is the cost. And then if we're evaluating these, we can decide which ones we want to move forward, right? So here we're kind of collecting ideas, and then we're deciding which direction we want to go. So now I could select one of these, and then up at the top in my custom list, I have a new button called Create Projects. Okay. Now when I click this, here you'll see we can map all of these options in my task list directly to Project Online. So I can bring title over as project name, I can bring description over as description, budget as cost, even risk information. Now here's the EPTs that you were asking about. So here I could select new product development, merger and acquisition, and then this will actually create a new project in Project Online for me. Now previously, you had to write a lot of custom code to do this, to map the fields over, but a lot of this is available right out of the box. Now it says, congratulations, our project has been completed successfully. So let's go back to Project Center, and we'll see if our motorcycle helmet project has shown up. Let's refresh our page here. Oh, we'll give it a sec. Like I said, those timer jobs usually take a few minutes to run.
Question.
Yes?
When you were selecting SharePoint sites to connect to a new project, can those SharePoint sites be local sites that we're hosting ourselves, or do they have to be hosted in SharePoint?
Okay, so the question was, when you're importing the SharePoint sites, can they be local, like on-premises SharePoint sites, or sites in Office 365? They have to be one or the other. So if your solution is in SharePoint Online, it's in Office 365, then they have to be in Office 365. But this functionality is available on-premises, so if you have an on-premises solution, you can take advantage of the same. You just can't cross from on-premise to the cloud yet. Hans? Oh, to connect it? You can connect. That's a good question. So the question was, can you connect using any templates for the SharePoint sites, or does it have to be a specific one? So you can connect sites that have been created using the team site template or the project site template. So very good question. Thanks. Great. So we'll move forward with the demo, and we'll take a look at Project Center here. So Project Center is the hub where I'll see the full list of projects in Project Online. So when we're managing enterprise projects, and we're tracking these and working through costs and status, here I'll see the full list. Now I can adjust my groupings. At the top in the ribbon, I can change whether I want to look at a different view. I can filter out projects that I'm not interested in. And then I can also group by different options. Now, in this demo, I'm grouping by department, but you can group by stage, project name, or pretty much whatever you like. Now, down here in the grid, we have these icons. So the red icon highlights any projects that have issues, and the exclamation point is any projects that have risks. So right here, I can see which projects are encountering issues and risks, and this is pulled directly from the project site. Now, the portfolio timeline is right here at the top of the Project Center. We just introduced this in 2013. It's brand new. And I can click pretty much any project in my list, and I can add this to my timeline. Now I can change the color of this. I can alternate back and forth. I can pull this out as a callout. You know, I can drag this around and change the placement. And I can drop it back in if I want. So this is pretty flexible. It's not something that was available before. We had a lot of requests for it. Everyone loved the timeline that we had in Project Professional, and it just made sense to pull this into Project Center so you can see at a quick glance how your projects are progressing across your portfolio. Now, some additional information in the Project Center is accessible via the ellipses here. So if I click the ellipses, I can actually go directly to the project site. I can build a team. And we recently introduced a brand new feature to delete the project right here in the Project Center. So previously, you had to go through some settings that were pretty buried, and now it's right there at your fingertips. Right? Yes? The portfolio timeline? Oh, that's a good question. You know, I'll have to follow up on that. You know what? A really good place to answer that question would be the PWA Getting Started session later this week. We'll follow up on that. Yes?
So this view you're looking at multiple projects, right, which may or may not have the same resources. Can you do kind of enterprise-level resource management across projects from here?
You can, yes. And actually, I have a slide at the very end where I mentioned the resource management session. They're actually going to go pretty deep into that, so I'll steer you to that session. Great. So once I have this full list of projects in my portfolio, now I can start deciding which projects I want to complete. Right? Now on the left-hand side, you'll see a menu item called Strategy. When I click Driver, here you can see a full list of business drivers. So my organization can come in, and we can define the business drivers that are important to us. Now here, we have a few different levels. We might say if we're expanding into new markets, we want to grow revenue by just $500,000. Right? Maybe this is on the low end. Maybe a project would be growing by more than $3 million. That's on the extreme end. So when we're creating a project and project online, we can map it to these business drivers. We can define where it's going to have the most impact. Now, here we've got several different business drivers. Now, an organization is going to have to decide what's most important to them. So here, they would create a prioritization. And here we have a CIO prioritization, an executive consensus. And when I drill in, you can see that we've defined increasing market share as our top priority. All right, so we have 35% priority on this. This is going to be our most important initiative. And then we'll move down to expanding to new markets and improving product quality. So here,
you have multiple different options there. What if they're in conflict?
Like for example,
CIO
and COO? Well, what's great is, so I'll repeat the question. The question was, there's a lot of different options here. What happens if the CIO and the CEO are butting heads and there's a conflict, and one has one priority and one has the other? Well, the great thing is that you can define multiple prioritizations, and then you can run your analysis, and you can do slightly different modeling. So you could actually run your analysis, and you can say, well, if we mapped it to the CEO's prioritization, here's our impact to our strategic bottom line. If we run using this other prioritization, here's our impact to our strategic bottom line. And then you could compare those. So I would recommend kind of taking that option where you define different priorities, and then you can model over both. So I'm going to move forward with a few more things to demo here. We'll try to save some time at the end for questions. So once we define our priorities, we can map these to our portfolio analysis. Now in this case, we'll take a look at our baseline. Now our baseline here says that if we had all the money that we needed, all of our projects would cost about $18 million. Now, in our portfolio, we have 21 projects total, and this would give us about 100% of our strategic value. So this is saying, well, how many of our projects could we complete, and how much would it cost? Now, here, there's a couple of graphs. We'll take a closer look at these. If I hover over these bars, you can actually see what percentage of our projects map to these business drivers. So in our case, 29% of our projects are mapping to expanding into new markets. Now here, 6% are mapping to improving customer satisfaction. And if I look at Efficient Frontier, we'll let this graph load, I can actually see the curve. So as we burn down our investment and we start spending more money, how do we approach that 100% of our strategic value? So this chart is created right here automatically in Project Online. Now the reason you saw two bars was because we actually had another portfolio analysis saved. So I can look at my current, and I can look at my saved options as well. My baseline is right here. It's showing if we had 100%, what would this look like? And our other analysis that we perform where we reduced budget a little bit is a little bit lower on the curve. So I can see kind of what the trend line is. Now on the right side, I can see a list of all my projects. I can see what percentage they are against my priority, and I can see exactly how much they're costing. Now we saw a little bit of this earlier, but I'm going to run it one more time for you. If I reduce my budget and I need to recalculate, that's fine. Now Project Online can decide which projects we can still complete to maximize our investment. So here, if we only had $10 million, we can still complete 13 projects and hit 79% of our strategic value. So if you didn't use the portfolio analysis features, you'd probably be pulling your hair out saying, gosh, which projects can we complete? How are we going to balance this? There's a lot of negotiation involved. But here, we've taken the time and spent a little bit more time up front to define what our priorities are and map those projects. Now Project Online can do the work for us. So here we're at a point where we've reduced our investment. We're at about $10 million, and we're completing 13 projects. What happens very frequently is that budgets get reduced. We have to alter how much money we can spend. So I could actually come in here and adjust that. That's fine. But now in addition to that, there may be projects that were moved out because of that new budget, but we know we absolutely have to have these. Okay. Has anybody ever had an executive tell them you absolutely have to do something? Yes. So here, I could actually select any of these projects. I think we'll just look at the knee and elbow pads because we're familiar with that one. And I can force these in. So when I select force in and I do a recalculate, Project Online is a little bit more flexible. It will include this project, and it will decide on other projects to move out of our portfolio. Okay. Now here, we'll let this churn through it. It's thinking. But using these features, it really takes some of the burden off the analysis that you have to do in meetings and, like I said, the negotiation. And here, it's already moved them out for us. So now we have a few different projects that have been moved out. If I scroll down to this view, we can take a closer look. It actually has about 5 that were unchanged, right? That means that they were previously moved out when we reduced our budget. And now the red ones highlight any new projects that have been moved out when we did the force in. Now, when we did the force in and we pulled in that knee and elbow pads, you'll see there's a couple of other green projects as well. Where did those come from? Well, because we had to move in that knee and elbow pads, we had to adjust the money, right? And here, these were maybe a little bit more expensive and the combination didn't work out. So we actually made room for these when we pulled in knee and elbow pads. So it does some adjustment, and now you can see our new analysis is right here in our graph. Okay? So now I'm going to shift gears a little bit, and we'll talk about reporting in Project Online. All right, so we have this data. Here's some visualizations, right? We can decide on how we want to report on data. But with Project Online, we had kind of an interesting dilemma, because when you're on premises with Project Server, a lot of customers have direct access to their SQL databases, right? And they write a lot of SQL queries, they use Excel, they use lots of different technologies on premises. And because the data is in SQL, they have access to do pretty much whatever they want, right? Build cubes, different things. But when we ship Project Online, all of this data is hosted in Office 365 data center. And because we support many, many different tenants, we looked at that tenant analogy earlier, right? There's thousands of tenants, maybe more. We can't give direct access to the SQL databases. So that's why we designed that OData data service. And we talked to a lot of teams and tried to figure out, well, what's the direction and where are folks going with extracting data from online services? And OData, all roads kind of pointed to OData. So in Project Online, we created a new OData service that maps on top of the reporting schema. So when you provision this instance of Project Web App right here in Office 365, you'll actually have access to your very own OData feed. You just append __API/project_data, and that's how you find your OData feed. So when I click this, you see some really scary XML, but this shows you that you actually get access to your data from Project Online via a nice XML feed. Now, we mentioned earlier today in the keynote that this is secure. The reason it is because I'm logged into my tenant. Now, because I'm logged into my tenant here, I have access to my URL for my OData feed. So this isn't exposed. This isn't an open endpoint anyone can have access to. Only my users have access to it when they log in to Office 365. Now here, this is the full list of tables we expose. You can see projects, risks, tasks, timesheets. All this information is available in the feed. If I append projects here, you can see a lot of the different properties that we retrieve. So there's a lot of XML here, but I just want to show you this is how we expose that data. So now I'm going to jump over to Excel, and I'll show you exactly how we pull this in to a new workbook. Now, if I click data from other sources, from a data feed, we saw this dialog in the keynote today, but we didn't see anything in here. If I append projects, here we're actually calling up to Office 365, and we're retrieving the data from my tenant. So now this is going to run, and it's going to pull down my list of tables, and it's going to embed that data right in Excel in my internal model. So we'll let this run for a minute, and I'll show you the report where we pulled this data in earlier. And we actually built a nice report with some slicers. Here I can filter on my data in Excel. I click Finance, I'm narrowing down my list of projects. I have access to my portfolio data here. And I have these key performance indicators at the bottom, right? Now on the right side, you'll see this pivot table well. Now, this is where you can see your full list of properties from your OData service. I have my analysis ID, my project ID, priorities, duration. I have lots of other options here for projects. Now here, I've included this in my pivot table. I've built some graphs and charts. And it's really easy to take advantage of all the features that Excel has to offer once you've pulled your data right here into Excel. Now, there's a deep dive reporting session this week that goes into more detail about using OData and how to build queries. We have another reporting session tomorrow morning where we walk through some scenarios using Power View and Power BI. But to give you an overview, OData is used to pull data into Excel, and you can build the reports that you need. Quick question?
I got a question about the OData service. Mm-hmm. Is there some component that has to be installed on the user's machine?
Oh, good question. So the question was, with the OData service, is there a component that needs to be installed on the user's machine? So the answer is, no, you don't need a component to access the URL to get access to your feed. If you want to pull data into Excel, you'll need Excel on your machine to work with that. But all the functionality you need to work with OData is embedded right here in Excel 2013. So you don't need other add-ins like Power Pivot or Power Query. You can work with it right here in Excel 2013. So the question is, if you have Excel 2013 from the Office suite, can you pull data OData down into Excel and work with it? Right, you can. And yeah, so that's a good question. So the question is, if you have Excel installed on your machine separately, not via the click to run, you can pull OData down. I'll point out that in Excel 2013, you can actually be logged in with multiple accounts. So here I'm logged in as Mike McLean. I'm also logged in as an admin on another tenant and even my personal account. So here, as long as you're logged in to your account, and I'll show you a list of accounts here. Actually, I don't really want to switch accounts. But as long as you're logged into your account in Excel for your tenant, you can access your feed and pull down that data. So Excel authenticates you when you do that step I showed where you actually paste in that URL. That's when it authenticates you to your tenant. So I'll show an example of a report running in Excel web app. Let's see here. Let's come back to Project Web App. And we'll look at Project Work. So here's the example we saw earlier. We'll spend a little bit more time on it. Now, this report was built using Power View. Now, one of the great things about getting a project portfolio management solution from Microsoft is that we, the project team, work very closely with the Excel team. So we were able to help build in enhancements like what you just saw, working with OData and Excel. And here, when you subscribe to Project Online, you get access to Excel Web App, Word Web App, and all the other web app components. So this report is stored up here in Project Online. This is my Project Online tenant, Project Online Demo 123. And I have a BI center on that tenant, and that's where my report is stored. So here, when I click on it, I can load it right here in Excel Web App. So I'm looking at this in the browser. I can work with my filters. I can click through. I can narrow down data. And I can work with this. And I'm right here in Project Align. So I didn't need to subscribe to any other service to get access to Excel Web App. I'm right here. Now, we did mention the differences, right, between on-premises and online. Well, online, we take a large dependency on the business intelligence tools that are available in Office 365, right? So with Excel 2013, we can build Excel reports in the client, and then we can view them online in Excel Web App. Now, we can use Power View. Now, pretty soon, they'll be releasing the Power BI SKU, so you'll be able to actually add that to a Project Online tenant. And then you can build reports and take advantage of some of that functionality as well. So the BI solution with Project Online, like I said, is largely dependent and integrated with the BI solution across Office 365. So as more features start rolling out across the Power BI suites or across Excel, you'll be able to take advantage of those with Project Online as well. Quick question? Yes.
So what's happened with the OLAP queue?
It's a good question. Good question. So the question is, these reports that we've been viewing here are pulling from what's equivalent to the reporting database that maybe you've seen on-premises with Project Server 2010. That's correct, because we expose the reporting schema through OData. And in 2010, you could use things like OLAP cubes on-premises. So cubes are not available in Office 365. So that's one difference between online and on-premises. I think as we look to the future, there'll probably be more like data modeling capabilities available in the future from the business intelligence stack, and we'd probably be integrating with that. But today, you cannot do cubes in Project Online. So good question. Great. So now I'm looking at this report in Excel Web App. I'm going to show you a couple of the things we provision out of the box related to business intelligence. So here, when you subscribe to Project Online, you'll get a set of links and options on the left-hand side. We looked at the Project Center, we looked at tasks, and we looked at portfolio analysis, but there's also a reports link. So when I click reports, this will take me to the Business Intelligence Center. This is a separate SharePoint website that we provision when you sign up for Project Online, and it includes a set of folders and some Excel reports. Now, one interesting thing about the OData feed is that it is translated into multiple languages. So when you're working with a report here in Excel, if you don't want to see the English version of these entities, you can pull them back in different languages. So we support this entire list of languages here, and there's different folders with different sample reports for each language. So if I jump into English, you'll see we have a project overview dashboard report, a project overview report, and a resource overview. These are meant to be samples, so you can see kind of how to connect the data in Project Online. When you open them up, there'll be a set of data connections and relationships already created. And the dashboard is actually built in Power View. Now, there's also a set of folders under data connections. And these are the ODC files. You might be familiar with Office data connection files in 2010. Those would connect to Project Server, using SQL, things like that. Here we have a set of data connections using OData. So you could take a look at these and use them as a sample if you need to build your own queries and figure out how to narrow down data. Okay. So I'll come back to Project Web App. We'll talk about one more area. Now, we mentioned that it's easy to create projects in Project Online. There's a link here to some great help content. So we link directly to TechNet with a lot of the documentation around Project Online. Here, right in the middle, we have this tile to download the Project Pro for Office 365 client. There's a great session later today in this room on the Project Pro client, so you can attend that. Heather can give you a great overview of new features. This tile right here links us directly to that Business Intelligence Center that we just looked at. And here, I can even share my site with other users. So if there's other users in my tenancy, I can add them, and they'll have access. Now, all the way on the right, there's an option called Add Lists, Libraries, and Other Apps. So when I click this, I can then select SharePoint Store in the bottom left. And here, you'll see a whole list of apps that I can add to Project Online. Some of these are free. Some of these cost money. They've been developed by partners, customers. If I search for, I think TPG has a good one out here. There's different types of charts that have been developed. So when I click these, it's just like any app store that you might already be familiar with. I can select these apps, I can buy them, I can install them in Project Online. You can see they have ratings. There's a lot of other options. Now, not only can you install and use apps from the SharePoint store, but Project Online is extensible. So our partners are now building apps for the Windows Phone, for the iPad. Sensei has a couple that just came out. We saw them today in the keynote. Now, using Project Online, they've built these apps using both the OData feed that we just looked at and the CSOM, the client-side object model. So that enables them to extract data, build apps, and also publish changes back as users are working with them. So you can come here, you can install, and you can configure apps. You can add them directly to Project Online.
Question.
Yes?
On the getting started, you had about 6 tiles.
Right. Yes, you can. So the question was, on this getting started pane, there's a carousel here at the top that has a lot of options that include creating projects. Can we limit users so that they cannot have access to some of these options, right? So when you give a user access to Project Online, you can define whether they're just a team member or they're a project manager or they're an administrator. And actually, I might even be able to show you that option here. So if I entered a name like Garth Fort, I'll see Garth. I could select him. Here I might say, come work with Project Online. Now if I click Show Options, here I decide what permission I want to give Garth. Now the default is team member, because that's actually gives him slightly restricted access, so he's more of a contributor. But there's a few other options there. Like I said, there's a security administration this week that goes into more detail. But if I select team member, when Garth comes to Project Web App, he will only see this bottom carousel. The bottom carousel is more focused on accessing the projects that he can see, approving, maybe updating tasks, but he has a more tailored view because he's a team member. So the top carousel will be available for project managers and administrators, and the bottom carousel is available for team members. So, very good question. Now, follow up. Okay, so the question is, there may be some fields that we want to narrow down and not allow other team members to see. Do we have that granularity? Are you mainly referring to like the project center where there's lots of fields? Or? Right. Right. It kind of depends on the view. Sometimes there are fields that you can remove and you can hide them and you can prevent them from being displayed in task lists. Other views, it's a little bit different. But. It's more based on role. So it would be based on role, yeah, if they're a team member or executive, right? So now we've looked at how to bring projects in and how to report on them and how to do portfolio analysis. But we'll take a closer look at the project site.
So
quick follow-up. Yeah.
Yeah, on that carousel, controlling the permissions, can you use the Active Directory groups to do that?
Okay, so the question is, can you use Active Directory groups to control it, the users? So that's another good question. With Office 365, there is a way to sync like an Active Directory into Office 365. It uses a tool called DirSync. So it's a little bit out of the scope of this session, but there is a way to sync your on-premises Active Directory if you want all of those users to show up in the portal. So here in the demo earlier where we saw the list of users, here I actually created these users in my list. But there are other options if you want to sync with Active Directory. It actually says it right here, and you can click it to learn more. So, good question. Now, I'm going to jump back into the project site. And we'll do a quick tour of the project site. When we have these projects in Project Online, a lot of the action happens in the project site. We know that there's lots of documents, right, presentations, and lots of collateral, lots of communication that happens across our projects. So in Project Online, when you create a brand new project from that carousel, spin it up, you know, from a demand management innovation hub perspective, we create a project site for that project. And when you come to the project site, every project site has its very own OneNote notebook, right? This is a central place where you can store all the notes related to your project. Here you can create multiple sections, multiple tabs. You can use this in the web app here. Or you can even add this as a OneNote notebook locally and use OneNote on your machine. Now, if I jump into the document library, here you can upload all of your documents, And again, there's a great preview, so you can click through the documents here. You can see what they look like, take a quick glance. Another great thing is you have a direct link to this document. So in previous versions, it was kind of hard to figure out the link to a document. So if you want to email a link to someone, you have this long URL that spans multiple lines. Well, here we included it in the tooltip, so you could just copy this, and you could paste it into an email or anywhere else. If I want to share this, I could click Share and share it with a user. Or if I click the ellipses, there's a lot of other options. Now, since we're an enterprise and we're in Office 365, we have the ability to do things like versioning. I can download a copy. We can add workflows around these documents or even look at compliance details. So here's where I would upload and store a lot of the documents related to my project. Now, in some of the apps our customers have built, they actually extract this full list of documents so you can see it in your iPad or your device when you're on the go. Now, we already looked at the task list, but this is linked directly from the project site. Now, this project I've converted to an enterprise project. So that's why I have this nice yellow bar at the top that tells me I must edit this in Project Web App. So we already took a look at that. Now, we did mention in the keynote you can create a brand new mailbox using the carousel. So here in this carousel on the project site, there's a few different options. The one all the way on the right will install the site mailbox. So if you have Exchange Online, along with Project Online, we'll create a brand new site mailbox for you right out here. Now, when you send an email, you'll just CC the site mailbox, and the email will look something like this. So SMO, site mailbox, is its own email. And if I send an email, a copy of that will be stored right here in my site mailbox. Users can access this, they can search. Previously, you know, you might be working with your team, and I might say, well, I think I have a copy of that. This person thinks they have a copy of that. So if it's critical to your project, just CC the site mailbox, and it's right here. And you can have links. You can search it. It's all in Exchange. Now, we can track risks and issues across this project. Now, on this site, I've actually embedded a Yammer feed. Now, if I needed to take a closer look at Yammer, I can link directly to Yammer. So there's a nice integration there. Yammer is largely focused on groups, so I created a group for my project and I embedded the feed right here. So any dialogue related to this project can be captured and correlated around that group. I can work with it right here in the project site. Now the last thing we'll look at is the project summary web part up here at the top. Now here we have a few different options. We show any late tasks in our project. We even highlight it in red. We show any upcoming tasks that are going to be due pretty soon, because those are usually the ones you want to focus on. Anything that's late or anything that's upcoming. We can also see large milestones. So here I have an investigation due in about 28 days. And here on the detailed view, I can see exactly when it's due, and I can see the title of that task. So this view gives me a quick summary of how many I have. If I want more information, I just toggle over. Okay, this is brand new. We just introduced this in 2013. That's a good question. So the question was, in the product summary web part, can we show the late tasks and make it relative? So if maybe it's only 1 day or 2 day late or relative to baseline. I don't believe you can do that yet. I think it's based on just whether the date has passed or not. It's binary. But that's a great idea for the future. So then the last piece of functionality here is the timeline. So here we actually pull that timeline in from the task list and we show it right here on the project site. So you don't need to dig around and find the task list or jump around, or you don't have to open Project Pro if all you need to do is see the timeline. We save that timeline up when you're working with Project Pro for Office 365, and then it's stored right there with the task, pulled into the task list, and you can see it right here in the project site. Okay, so this kind of gives you a great place to collaborate with the team members, store documents, store information, meeting notes, and mail. So project sites. Great. Well, that was a whirlwind tour of Project Online, and we'll move forward. I wanted to discuss just briefly a case study. So here's a slide that works through a case study that we did with Hilti. Hilti was an early adopter of Project Online, and they work in the construction industry. They do services, and they really needed to be able to move a little bit more quickly, be a little bit more agile. They were heavy users of Project Server, And when they looked at Project Online, it was a pretty good option because it kind of alleviated a lot of the work that they had to do to manage their environment. And they were able to then focus more on their business. So it reduced a lot of the complexity on the Hilti side. And they believe it actually cut their IT maintenance time in half. So they ended up going through a lot of cost savings, achieving more productivity by onboarding to Project Online. So there's a quote here from Dr. Christian Butterdick. I'll let you read it. But I wanted to point this out because it's actually available on the Microsoft site if you'd like to read more about it. We might be talking about it in some other sessions this week. But here was a good case study on Project Online. There's more of these that are rolling out now that the service has been alive for a year. And there's more companies looking at moving to the cloud. So key takeaways today. So let's recap. So today we saw kind of a whirlwind tour of Project Online, right? There's a lot more sessions today that can go deeper into certain areas, but I just wanted to give you kind of a taste of all the functionality that's available. And I guess the main takeaway is that in Project Online, you really do have full project and portfolio management capabilities. A lot of people wonder how much functionality is available. Is it a subset? Is it a smaller amount? Is it just editing project documents in the browser? But no, it's full project portfolio management. So we have one code base. When we develop Project Server, we ship this online to the cloud. So it's a full feature set. Okay. And today we walk through kind of the journey of task management to portfolio management. Right. So right here, we took tasks from Excel. We brought it into a SharePoint task list. We connected this to Project Online. We could see it in our portfolio. And then using reporting, you can pull that data out, and you can build charts and graphs. So using a combination of Project Online, Project Pro, and SharePoint, we can manage that journey. All right. Now, lastly, you can get started quickly. I showed you the page where you can sign up, and then we looked at the portal, and I hit New, Site Collection, and it spun up. It's probably done by now. If you compare that to kind of our scenarios previously, you might take days, weeks, or months deploying Project Server, right? You have to kind of allocate machines. You have to decide how much you need and how you're going to place these and how it's going to work. But here, you could sign up, and you can have Project Online running in like 10 minutes. So today, there's actually a lot of, or this week, there's a lot of hands-on labs that walk through the sign-up process in Project Online. You can see how quick it is to get started and get the ball rolling. So moving forward, I'll get to your question in just a second. We're almost done. We're just wrapping up. Now, call to action. So I think this was mentioned in the keynote today, but every conference attendee receives a Project Online with Project Pro for Office 365 trial. You guys excited about that? Something free? That's cool. So definitely check it out. This guy, I mean, he's signing up for it in the courtyard, okay? You can do this anywhere. So you'll get an email. You can sign up for it. You can try it out. It's free. So you can take a look, take it for a spin. And then I also want to point out our hands-on labs. So definitely visit the hands-on labs. Here you can actually work with it this week. We have folks from the engineering team that are staffing the hands-on labs, so that they're actually there to assist. We work on the product every day. We can answer questions. I also encourage you to visit the booths. So we'll be at the booth. I'll be there later today. And I did mention that there's a lot of related sessions, right? So today, same room, what's new in Project Desktop? So that'll cover the desktop options if you want to go deep into Project Pro. My session tomorrow, same room, is Railroad Reports. So we go a little bit deeper into BI, show some neat visualizations. And then there's a session on how to get started. So if you're more interested in that, feel free to attend that. Here, Julie will walk through how to get started with Project Online and Project Pro. And then if you're more interested in portfolio optimization and you want to go a little deeper there, there's a session on Tuesday at 5 o'clock. Where I think Luke's walking through that. So they go a little bit deeper into running those portfolio analysis and how they work. And then I think someone asked about resource management. So there is a session on resource management on Wednesday where they go into managing resources and how that happens. Later today, there's another session that Dux is doing on accelerating your business with Project Online. And we tried to coordinate a little bit. So Dux is going to go more into resource management as well, specifically with Project Online. And then I did mention there was an IT administration session. So if you'd like to learn more about Project Server administration and Project Online, what does it mean to have things like resource quota and site quotas, you can definitely attend Alex's session on administration. So I want to welcome everyone to the conference. I know this is your first session of the week, so I hope you're excited about Project. Definitely fill out your evaluations, especially if you like the session. And I'll be at the booth later today for a few hours. If you have any questions, we can follow up. And I think we have 5 minutes left, so we'll wrap the session if anyone needs to take a break before their next session. And I can take a few questions. All right, thank you. So you're waiting very patiently. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Right, right. So the question is, if we're working in the same code base and we're pushing new features and enhancements every 30 days or maybe even quicker in some cases, what's the process for getting those into the on-premises product? Well, it depends. What's great about Project Online is since it is an online service and it's live and it's always running, you're definitely going to get the quickest innovation from the online service. If there are things like bug fixes, critical fixes, a lot of those will roll up into service packs. I think we're still planning the next on-premises release of the server component, but I think large enhancements will probably look to something like that. But I think that the online service is definitely where you're going to see the most current and most recent innovation. Like I said, if there are bug fixes or service packs, they'll be available for the server product as well. And a lot of that follows the regular cadence of releasing service packs. So.
Yeah. The trial version that you mentioned, so you can mm-hmm.
Right. Oh, good question. So the question was, with the free trial that's available for 3 months with Project Online, with Project Pro, can you look at the SSIS and SSRS solution? Unfortunately, no. That won't be available as part of the trial. But what's great is that if you do have SQL Server, as soon as the feature pack's available for OData, you could potentially hook up your SSIS package to your trial tenant and pull data down and play around with it. You know, I don't have the exact date. I know it's pretty close, but it's going to be in the next feature pack release with SQL Server 2012. So at least I have that much information. take a couple more questions. Okay. The question is the concept of program supported in Project Online. That's a good question. You know, why don't we follow up afterwards? Because I think that may be more tailored towards that like deep dive portfolio analysis session. That might be a good place where we can get some answers. But yeah, let's talk afterwards. Sorry. Yeah. Okay, so the question is, what's the standard storage quota for Project Online and Office 365 in general? It's going to vary depending on if you're working with like a SharePoint site or a site with Project Online. For each of those Project Online sites that we looked at, you're allowed, I think it's 10 gigs of space related to your project data. So we actually handle the project data separate from the SharePoint site. So I can give you that number for the Project Online sites. The SharePoint site is going to vary depending on how many sites you have and how the tenant is set up.
Did you, when you create a new instance of PWA, did you specify the storage quota?
Right.
The
quota for where you store your documents, like in the SharePoint site, is separate from any of the project schedule information that we see in Project Online. So if you have lots and lots of projects and lots of data, we actually handle that quota separately from the quota for all the SharePoint documents. So the documents are tailored to the SharePoint quota, and then we have a Project Online quota for you. Great. Well, I think we're right. Yeah, I can probably take one more question. If you have existing business drivers and priorities, can you import them? Are you asking if they're on premises or where would they be? Where would they be coming from? Yeah, I think I got it. So the question is, if you have existing business drivers or priorities on premises in a previous implementation, can you export them and bring them into Project Online? There's a couple of ways you could do that. Well, actually, Well, actually, mainly just one way. we have partners that have written migration tools, like Fluent Pro is one of them, and you can actually take on-premises data, and I believe it would include business drivers as well, and then you can bring that into Project Online through their migration tool. So it's not something that's available out of the box with Project Online, but there are solutions available for that. And another related question we always get is, well, how do I move my projects to Project Online if I'm on-premises? And there are a couple ways to handle that. One is, like I said, using that migration tool from Fluent Pro, or you can just save your schedules up and then you can start from scratch. So we usually recommend that, just saving your projects up and then getting started. So two options, partner solutions, and then saving your schedules for that one. Great, well, we're at 12:30, so let's wrap. I'll give the next presenter time to set up. Thank you.